Again, my name is Dana Campbell, and I'm going to be presenting on an educational partnership to eliminate health disparities in South Carolina. First, I'd like to acknowledge that I put my name on here because I'm presenting, but several people helped put this together, including Dr. Olatosi, who is probably presenting right now, Jessica Bellinger, Dr. Crystal Piper, Dr. Edith Williams, Dr. Sandra Glover, and Brandy Wright. And this is my disclosure. The following personal financial relationship, I have no personal relationships with anybody, okay. So. as many of you know, health disparities do exist in all facets of health, including incidence, prevalence, morbidity, mortality. I don't have to go through that, I'm sure. But one of the things that we discussed in this program, in this particular project, is the need for innovative approaches to eliminate health disparities and improve the health status of minority populations. For South Carolina, this is very important. So in 2001, several of the members of the faculty administration in the Arnold School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina started to develop a project, and they started with this Institute for Partnerships to Eliminate Health Disparities. And what's kind of interesting now is that one of the people that was instrumental in getting this started is the current president of the university. At that time, he was the vice president for research and also the associate dean for the School of Public Health. I have in parentheses the Institute because we're not very creative and we call it the Institute, but it is the Institute for Partnerships to Eliminate Health Disparities. And its mission is to facilitate partnerships between academic institutions and community organizations and also historically black colleges and universities. So, I had to hit twice apparently. This is our interesting logo that we really like, and it's really focused on the HBCU in this for this particular project. One of the things that I want to point out is that in South Carolina, there are six HBCUs, all of which are primarily teaching institutions. And a lot of times HBCUs are left out of some of the discussions that are taking place in the larger institutions. And so when the faculty and administration came together to kind of develop the Institute, they thought the largest partner, the biggest partner that they would have would be the HBCUs, and so they're working really closely with them. But we do have other projects outside of this particular project, the Kellogg, which we call the Kellogg Project because we couldn't think of anything else, and it was funded by W.K. Kellogg. But the institutions are South Carolina State, Morris College, Allen University, Voorhees College, Benedict College, and Claflin University. So my first thing is, how many of y'all have been to South Carolina? Okay, great. I wanted to give you a little bit of background about South Carolina. I'm not from South Carolina, as you heard in my bio, but I've lived there for a really long time, and so now I feel like I'm part of the community. But one of the things that happens in South Carolina is, you know, really bad health indicators, poor health overall, particularly as it relates to health disparities. And African Americans in South Carolina are disproportionately affected by cancer, heart disease, HIV, et cetera. Infant mortality is twice as high. African Americans are 9 times more likely to be diagnosed with HIV. Heart disease, breast cancer, and, you know, a whole lot of other things, heart disease, stroke, so on and so forth. So really for a public health person, it's sort of ideal because it lends itself to really good research and also good programming. This is what happens when you put animation. Okay, the project I wanted to talk to you about today is what we call, like I said, the Kellogg Project. And the whole idea was to create a synergistic relationship between larger institutions, such as the University of South Carolina, and some of the smaller institutions, particularly the HBCUs. As I mentioned before, most of the HBCUs are primarily teaching institutions, and they've had some minimal success with tapping into some grant and research funding, but very little. So they're missing out. They're, that piece is, you know, kind of missing from the institutions. And so kind of the idea here was to link the institutions with the with USC and also the department, the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control, and also try to help them get some funding for public health research. The main goals were to, the ultimate goal is really to reduce and eliminate health disparities, and also to increase human capital as it relates to health disparities research and public health practice. So the objectives were to increase the number of African American professors who are knowledgeable in the field of public health, increasing the amount of research conducted in health disparities, and encouraging African American students to consider careers in public health. And I did, I think in my bio I mentioned I am a professor at Allen University, and one of the things that I think happens is that a lot of the students come and they have preconceived ideas about what they want to be, and that's a good thing, but they're very limited. So they come and they say, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer, or I want to, you know, and they have very little idea about public health or, you know, any of the fields that we probably are all in. And so, you know, trying to introduce that when you have somebody who's just, you know, strictly thinking I have to be a doctor is pretty difficult. So this was a huge challenge for us. These are some of the successful partnerships that we found in the literature that linked these larger institutions with HBCUs, or linked them with smaller institutions, smaller colleges or universities, or even CBOs and smaller agencies. The framework for the Kellogg project was that ultimately you'd have these partnerships, and we'd have a two-prong approach where we'd focus on the faculty, on faculty development, and then also focus on student development. We'd increase knowledge in public health, increase research, and also people's interest in public health, and then hopefully people will, you know, join the fight in combating some of these health disparities. But a lot of, you know, even if we don't get to that point in reducing health disparities, we at least want the students and the faculty to take the information that we have provided to, you know, back to their families, back to their communities, back to their churches, and that kind of thing. So I wanted to focus on the student development piece, and it's the way it's structured, we and you'll see with the pipeline, but we essentially did a lot of enrichment programs for the students, mostly during the summer, but occasionally once a month or twice a month. We provided internships and research training and opportunities. They got really large scholarships and stipends, and then we also taught them to do community projects on their campuses, so for the high school students in their high schools and for the college students at their colleges or universities. And so this was our pipeline. So we had Tier 1, which focused on high schools, and we had a partnership with Upward Bound for at least 4 of the 5 years, and recruited students who showed some interest in the medical field or in some kind of health profession, and they came to a summer program, and they also came once a month on Saturdays to what we called a Saturday Academy, and we taught them about public health, and they also carried out a project. And then the second tier, which is where most of our focus went, was to the undergraduates of the HBCUs, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later. And then we had the graduate program and the postgraduate program. One of the things, the project was only funded for 5 years, and this was our last year, so we didn't get to see, like, jumps from high school all the way to, you know, graduate school or postgraduate, but we did see from high school to undergrad or undergrad to graduate school, although the University of South Carolina, and I hope nobody's in here going to yell at me, but would not actually admit any of the students. So that was, it kind of, you know, broke the whole point was to train the students so that they could get into the University of South Carolina in their master programs, and no one got admitted. But they got admitted to other places, so that's a good thing. It was very problematic. Okay. So for Tier 2, the undergraduate portion, students received a really large scholarship, I thought, $7,500. at the time when we started the program, many of the schools, I think the tuition for one institution might have been $15,000. So for that student, it paid for half. And my institution at the time was, I think, only $11,000. So it paid a large portion of their tuition. And this was actually our first cohort. And then during the summer, they came to the University of South Carolina and spent 2 weeks with us, one summer, 3 weeks. And we tried to do, you know, everything to introduce them to public health, research, GRE prep, writing, speaking, exercise, nutrition. I mean, we just, you know, tried to fill their heads with everything we possibly could in a really short amount of time. Oh, program planning and evaluation. I mean, everything. In our first year, obviously, it was trial and error, and we bombarded them with so much that in the end, they came out with nothing. So that was kind of disappointing. So we decided to, each year, we did an evaluation and decided to focus on specific skills that would help the students. So this year, we had 16 undergraduate students from 5 of the 6 HBCUs, 13 females and 3 males. And I want to point out that each time we got any males, we were very excited because even though the institutions had large number of males attending, we could not get the males interested in coming to the program. So, and they came from a variety of majors. We did not put any restrictions on the majors. So this past year, we had people from mass communications, business, social science, English, and so on and so forth. So we did not put a restriction on that, and we thought that would be really beneficial to them to even to learn where their discipline might fit into public health. Most of the students were sophomores and juniors, and we had a few repeats, so we had some people carry over from the year before. It's kind of cold up here. Okay. So in our last year, and I was part of the research team, all those other people I mentioned to you were part of the research team. And as graduate students ourselves, we struggled with trying to teach students, you know, research skills that they would need in graduate school and beyond when they came to us with no skills, okay? So we decided to go with this process. So each school had teams, so they made up a team, and then each team was assigned a research partner, which was one of the graduate students or postdocs that worked for the institute. They came for their two-week summer session, and we gave them instruction 2 hours a day for 2 weeks. We focused on secondary analysis because we thought it would be easier than having them go out and collect data. In this particular case, we focused on NHANES, which turned out to be a bad idea, by the way, because it was very complicated, and you had to teach them Sudan, and you don't want to – don't pick NHANES for that. And then they met monthly, and we had sessions on that. They also had on-campus liaisons, and then at the end, they made formal presentations. The formal presentation was our spring symposium, and here are some pictures. And the students presented their research in front of a panel of judges who asked them questions. And they did pretty well, actually, particularly for them, you know, not ever having any kind of formal experience, and you would think that they would because they go to these institutions, but they don't. A lot of them didn't. So some of our challenges were that obviously we had a limited time for instruction. It's very difficult to teach research in, you know, a two-week time period with occasional weekends. Students had other commitments and they weren't, you know, fully engaged in what we were doing. Obviously, they came with a lack of knowledge, and that was a big problem. And then there was limited funding. Clearly, this 5-year project wasn't enough. We really wanted to get students and keep them for, you know, the duration of their college years. And then a lack of faculty and staff involvement at each institution. And so basically, the idea here is that, you know, partnerships do work, but preparation is key, and you have to plan. But we think that this kind of project is or would be a really good model for larger institutions to engage HBCU students in some of their research and teaching them how to become good researchers. And lastly, I just want to point out that we actually submitted quite a few projects, their projects, to APHA, and none of them got, you know, accepted, but at least I'm here for them. Okay, that's it. Contact those majors. Okay.